Welcome to the TOD podcast. My name is Lola C. Wolf. I'm one of your hosts of the I Am X crew in company with Ebel and other shenanigans of our crew. Are we introducing the topics of diversity, life and death? This podcast is here to inspire, uplift, and make you realize what really matters in life.
Hello and welcome to the Truth or Death podcast. I'm so excited for this special interview today. I'm back with a wonderful, magical person. I don't want to give too much away because this person has been here with me before. So we're diving right in. I believe so. And hello and welcome back, Mark.
Hello, hello, hello. Nice to be here. Good to see you and hear you. Very glad that I'm here. How are you doing? You're doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing very well and fine. And like, I can already feel that this episode is going off the rails with all the magical talk that we're going to have. And
yes, it's loaded.
If you have not listened to the interviews with Mark before, there's a couple of episodes. And if you happen to be German, there's also a German episode. We talk about magic in all the ways and all the details. And I can 100% say that since the last episodes, we like so much has happened in like in terms of spirituality in my life as well. So I can't wait to dive into that. But first and foremost, let's talk about occulture.
Yeah.
And tell me what it is, what's going on. Like, tell me everything about it.
All right. So here's the tea. Let's start in the beginning. In the beginning, there was a culture. In the beginning, there was a culture. A culture is an esoteric conference here in Germany. And it is said to be Europe's biggest occult esoteric conference festival that there is. And people join internationally. We have lots and lots of speakers. And it was this October. So, I think occulture really has like the biggest schedule that there is when it comes to occult stuff and like these kind of conferences. You really have this kind of FOMO, like, oh no, I don't want to miss this. And like, there are three things happening simultaneously. There's a ritual, there's a talk, there's a workshop, and you don't want to miss anything because it's all so, so amazing and so weird that this is happening in the middle of Berlin. And I mean, not really weird, but because like it's Berlin, right? To be honest, I was kind of surprised that there wasn't more of this in Berlin, you know. It's just the perfect city for this. And this year, after joining occulture as a lecturer last year in October, this year I was part of it with the organization team and like kind of behind the scenes and everything with the Fellowship of the White Mountain, we're also curating the events and lectures and everything in a little occult shop in Kreuzberg, The Fool. And we are kind of behind the scenes making a culture happen, of course, with lots and lots of volunteers and participants and friendly souls. And it's very much in the end a non-profit thing, because, you know, like renting a Berlin night tech club for an entire weekend is expensive. And of course, yes, the tickets are also expensive, but in the end, for the stress and everything, from what I see, I really got away from the organization with a blue eye and like really okay. I was one of the lucky ones. I wasn't as tortured with all the stresses of organizing and managing anything and everything and not being able to enjoy the conference, which I did. I did have some great moments, and I thought let's share this with everyone who couldn't make it and maybe inspire some people to join next year.
Yeah, I love this. You have already inspired me to drop them an email right away. So I will do this right after this interview. Also, how fantastic. Like, I know we have some like spiritual festivals in the UK, but it's so Like, I think there should be much more around Germany too, with like occasions like this. It's so beautiful. And as you said, like Berlin, I think Berlin specifically is such a good city for that because there's so much culture coming together. And like, I don't know about you, but Berlin to me is a city where like dark stuff also happens, but not in a like, it's demons running around all the city and stuff, but more in a sense of like, there's a deeper sense of connection, and not everyone is capable to handle the energy of Berlin, like how I feel towards the city. So what a wonderful occasion. And what you also just said, like it's basically nonprofit, and then there's so much to explore. And I think it's always beautiful when we have these festivals where people come together from all cultures and backgrounds and celebrate the one thing that we love all, which is magic. What was your highlight, or what's something that you did this year that you maybe haven't done since last year, or like what was different for you?
So what was different, basically because I was now part of the fellowship organizing this, we had the honor to do the opening ritual on Thursday. So that was intense, especially because in that kind of format, I haven't really done a lot of group ritual work apart from like doing seances, but I'm mostly the person facilitating, and then it's mostly muggles or people who are more like dabbling, so I'm more in a facilitator role. So it was really nice to do the opening ritual and like being part of a group of like like doing this together, and everyone had their function and had their spot and everything, and like planning it, and keeping both in mind. We want to keep this, of course, aesthetic and nice to look at because it's a culture, right? We want to make people feel like they got their money's worth. But also like to construct this ritual together with our master of ceremonies, Christian, making it magically viable and making it strong and powerful to have a good start. So definitely the opening ritual was a fantastic experience. I think we come back to that later in a moment again. And then also some of the talks, so especially by Daniel McKenzie from the UK, who's a druid, and he spoke in a wonderful way about spirit work from the druidic standpoint, and spirit conjuration from a more shamanic, holistic viewpoint, and approaching it in a way that is, he said, so much of the medieval grimoires and the classic 16th century and like Golden Dawn stuff of conjuring spirits into physical appearance and everything, and like casting circles and like trapping a spirit in a triangle. All of that is very much the Karen approach to conjuration. Which I just loved. Don't be a Karen. Just ask nicely and have a relationship with spirit, which I really, really enjoyed this talk. Lots and lots of other things, as I said. So also like the sound journeys. Creatress did a wonderful a mix of like a DJ set and like voice activation, and like a group ritual thing embodying the elements, and I had before that I had a very strong ceremonial cacao. That really kicks things off when you're then in that kind of ritual, and then like singing and like embodying the elements and like activating and using your voice. So that was great as well. So and then I did a seance on Sunday myself. So that was also pretty powerful stuff going on there.
Oh my God, that all like
It's a
this
lot, I
all,
know.
yeah, it like where to start? Like, first off, yes to the druid talk and magic and all that kind of stuff. I've been diving into Avalonian magic this year, which obviously crosses borders with like druid magic, nature magic, fairy magic, all that kind of stuff, and shamanism as well, actually. So how fantastic to also have someone, yeah, basically telling and creating something right from the source. I think it's so important, especially to listen to these practitioners that, you know, have been here for a while and know the roots in that sense, because nowadays with the internet and witch talk and all that kind of stuff, there's so much overwhelming information. And I love when like we gather and come to these events and then people can really like one-on-one share these insights and wisdom. So that's fantastic. Also, yes, don't be a Karen. I've literally like it's crazy. I've literally had a couple of conversations recently where this kind of like crosses borders with like so many situations are so like used for me in the sense of like, you know, use protection in that sense, cast a circle, ask nicely, all that stuff, which should be a common thing. And like, you know, it's kind of magic 101 in that sense. But I had so many conversations with clients and also with practitioners where it's like, it's crazy how many people are still not like secure in that basic safety and like casting that. And then also how there's the other side who's literally just disrespectful, rude, and all that kind of stuff. And then these people are wondering why crazy shit happens. And it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't fuck around so much. So how wonder like I love a little bit of sass. That's always my favorite thing as well. You did the seance. Like how was that? Like, because you've done some before, like on your own with your business and stuff, but how was it different for you to perform it at a festival like this compared to?
The great thing is that I had a lot of more practice with that kind of clientele of doing seances because in the like the year leading up to Occulture, I started doing regular seances and like a mediumship development circle at the Fool, so at the shop in Berlin. The people that come there are like very, very similar to the ones who join Occulture. So it was great practice and a very nice experience to dive deep into that with people who are already in that kind of world, you know. So that is very much that has been very much a shift for me to kind of realize what do I have to do differently, how do I need to do to speak to these people, what's the structure, how much do we need introductory talk, what can we assume is kind of understood, even if not intellectually, but based on experience. To be honest, it makes things easier in one way, hard in other ways, but equally enjoyable. And really, it's a great experience. You can really do some fantastic stuff. So, working with magical practitioners in a seance context really opens things up to combine things more, you know, to not be as sterile and like one-pointed with your approach, which I think always pays off with people who are not as experienced. You know, you need to give them one thing to latch onto. We're doing this kind of seance. We're doing like a classic Victorian reenactment of a seance, for example. But with the magical folk, you can really mix and match things to really create powerful dynamics. You know, I always say, so let's put in some spiritualism. We put in some folk witchcraft. We put in some animism. We put shamanism in there and a dash of chaos magic, and then we're done, right? So, like really combining these things, I think that's where the strength is. And also, like it gets people in, you know. Like some people have experience with that, others know their way through chaos magic, doing sigiled with body fluids, and then there are people who are like more like really deep into the Christian mysticism, for example, which I think is something that grows more and more in my work, to kind of also make it more approachable. It's challenging for sometimes for magical people to approach Christian mysticism because of the baggage that most people have. And especially in the magic community, people are very like they have their reservations towards approaching Christian pantheon. But I think it's very worthwhile to look into. And on the other hand, the people who are not as into the occult stuff feel safer sometimes not always safer with doing it in a Christian way. They are very surprised. Oh, you can do like you can do like Christian stuff and also do magic. Like, how does that work? You know, for people who are not as experienced, they think that's kind of a like a conundrum. You can do that, right? So that's like a very nice approach and something that keeps on growing in my work. And then of course doing such a thing like a seance at a culture where the vibe is high, especially when I did it on Sunday. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days before that, the place like just juicy with energy and vibes. And then doing a seance, that's powerful stuff. So we had some physical manifestations and things going on. So very exciting and a very interesting group dynamic, cool connections. Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh, it sounds my place to be, honestly. And it's like there's so many things that you shared that I want to riff on. I think one of the things that I think is also really beautiful is like how all these different types of magics are coming together and then create such a unity of like the source itself. And I think that's very beautiful, because a lot of times from what I sometimes see is like there's so much debate and discussion around like what magic should look like or how it's practiced, and this is bad and this is good, when this is highly subjective of like how you are raised, which culture you're leading towards, and all that kind of stuff. So absolutely wonderful to hear that, you know, the occulture is creating such a place of unity in that sense. Is there any like new things that you tried that you hadn't done before in terms of practicing magic?
I think, yeah, things always come back. So in the sense of there's a lot of integration happening after a culture for me. So it was this way last year, and also this year there's lots of things going on. And you kind of have to trust that they will show up when it's time, because I have like a giant list of things. Like after a culture, I said, oh, I need to dive deep into this and this and this and this, and you kind of become overwhelmed. So I just trust that the right things will show up. I definitely realigned way more again with the druidic approach to spirit work, which is something that I had that perspective before, but now I kind of went into it more intentionally again, especially because it was because I had the opportunity at Samhain to do some rituals, which was very nice to kind of work with the structure and the invocation that Daniel McKenzie provided for us and kind of talked us through. So that was the first thing that I kind of integrated. And and definitely sound came back more. And it's always interesting. It kind of shows you how time is such a funny thing. And because I end up seeing how I did things at a culture, which I learned at a culture and should have been integrating after a culture, but it's kind of been in my system before that. So it's kind of that thing of, I don't know, there is this kind of study that they did, this weird experiment where they had students look at a list of like hundred words or something, and then they just randomly ask them how many words they remember, like based on a generator, like generating random words, and they kind of asked to kind of do the test, and afterwards they were to study and learn the list properly, and it ended up that the list that they learned properly generated randomly are the few words that they remembered naturally, right? So it's kind of like succeeding at the test and learning after the test, right? And that's kind of how I felt at a culture. So, for example, with the singing that I mentioned, which I did after my seance, that was the ritual after my seance with creatures, with the elements. And I really again felt like the power of the voice, and like activating the voice and how it really connects with energy. And then I realized how I already kind of integrated that before knowing that and experiencing it by going into the seance and saying, let's sing, let's do some singing, let's go kind of way back into like spiritualism, where I mean, I don't want to have people sing hymns for 3 hours. You know, just activating the voice, raising the vibes, and like growing, like building that connection as a group. So yeah, it's kind of funny how that plays, how cause and effect kind of swap places and intermingle and kind of play tricks on you.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So my recent biggest spirit journey was I went to the Spiritual Wellbeing Festival in Birmingham, which is an organizer that does it always twice a year in London and Birmingham. And obviously, it's just, I can imagine, similar to All Cultural, you go there. I've just went one day on both festivals this year, but just one day is just so bust with energy and connection to people. And I did a shamanic ceremony there, and then also afterwards met Lisa and Richard again, Lisa Lister and Richard Lister, who both had talks. And Richard is like me, a Nordic practitioner, so anything with runes and the Nordic gods and stuff. And it's like, it's always so funny how, even like I know so much about it, it always comes back in certain times and moments in your life where it's like, oh, now this is opening, and now this is the reconnection, and now this is leading me to this. So it's so, and what you also just said with like time is such a funny thing, like the more I dive into certain practices and like things side by side, even with like quantum physics, right? You like, to me, quantum physics is very similar to what we understand in certain concepts of magic, like how time works, how manifestation works. I bet a lot of scientists would disagree. But here I am challenging the system. And it's so,
who's
I
the
just like, yeah, literally. And it's just so, like, what I love about this is like, after events like this, you just come home and you're like, my God, Nick, to like get inspired by, because like for me, what I realized this year, and you might resonate with that as well, is like, I just can't do superficial magic anymore. Like, I just can't sit in a manifestation ritual anymore and like wish that my next month is going to be great. I need to sit in a room where it's like, okay, let's talk about the next year, or like, let's talk about the next spiritual journey that you want to go to, and dive even deeper. Because I think especially in like these deep practices, and when we look back at certain traditions, that's really where like even more magic opens up. And it's like, it's just so, like, I'm always so in awe of like what's more to explore and how much more we can learn from it, especially as like young practitioners. And like, I always like to pass this on as well. Like, yes, obviously certain traditions are very outdated in the sense, yes, our patriarchy and all of that. But then we have practices where it's also important to look back at the roots so that we can then figure out, okay, how can I create this into a like nowadays approach so that it becomes like a respect of the tradition, but then also creating our own magic in a new form. So essentially that was my little riff on like tradition and including our own practices and creating new practices and paths. So yeah, there was no question to it. This was just me riffing.
Very good. And I trust that the last minute of this was very enlightening.
Thank you.
I had to just run for a moment and do some emergency stuff. So all good.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Is there anything that you would like to see at the occulture next year? Like any like practices or rituals or anything that you feel like it would be great to have that on stage or as a speaker or whatever it is?
I think, to be honest, I think it just finds us, if that makes sense. It just comes along. So, for example, one of the things that I didn't expect but was very happy to see this year was like a whole panel discussion, like consisting of like three talks, and then a panel discussion about magic in academia, right? Which is,
oh my God, this is so my I would have loved that, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And I was very, it was very interesting. It was, let me just quickly check the program because I don't want to butcher any names. It was so so interesting to kind of see that well, that perspective, you know, to kind of being able to appreciate how magic has a place in academia, and also like being encouraged to have practitioners in academia about magic, and not just people who talk about it and don't really know anything about it, right? So I think that is a very worthwhile a thing to kind of integrate, you know, to kind of say, oh, there was this one point made where it was said people are very afraid when they finally do end up being kind of respected for doing magic in academia and kind of talking about this and writing about it and studying it, that they're very afraid that people find out that they are themselves a part of that, you know, and that they do practice magic. And it's very weird because if you if you think about it, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do such a thing for someone working in theology or in or like a or like a professor on Kabbalah or Jewish mysticism, you know. Oh no, have you heard? They're actually Jewish, you know. Like no one would think twice about it, you know. It's just it just makes sense, you know. So I think that's very that was very interesting to kind of to think about. I don't I'm not finding the thing in the program. I'm so sorry. I wanted to give some names. Earl Fontanelle was there, who has a very good podcast about the Western the secret history of Western esotericism, Schwepp. And is very good, and he was there, and he was very, very, very funny and very enlightening. The way he talked about, yeah, the secret history of magic and everything, and how it all came together. But yeah, that was that is something that I didn't expect to see at a culture. I was very glad that it was there, and I found very enlightening. And I think the right things will come. The right people will feel a calling to come to a culture and share their magic and share their knowledge and facilitate experiences and do some weird things. We had everything. We had people doing VR experiences, like guided VR. I think I didn't end up doing it because I had other things that I because of the organization, like being at the door and checking tickets, right? Someone has to do it in shifts. There was this VR experience of experiencing death, you know, a death experience through VR, like a guided VR ritual, which was like I heard some people did it and they found it amazing. And so many crazy stuff, you know. I think the basic difference between this year and last year is it was a bit it wasn't as dark and still embracing darkness, you know. I many people last year said, oh, it was very dark, it was very very scary, maybe, right? And I think they kind of misinterpreted that, right? It was dark and it was very Saturnian, I think is the best word to describe it. But it wasn't like evil, you know. It was very like it was challenging your shadow, you know. It was challenging the darker corners and like connecting with that. But in the end, if the night is your best friend, what can you be afraid of, right? So and I think this year was a bit lighter, but still with some spots of really deep depth, you know, where you can really dive deep into this. And I think that is kind of a progression that will that will continue. I think next year will also be I don't want to say we're moving more into the mainstream new age movement. I don't think that's the place for a culture, and I don't think this will happen just because of the people who come and who speak there. But I think moving it into a direction where it's more approachable and kind of on the outside and like, and then sucking people in, you know, like drawing them in. So I think that is what will probably happen, and that's kind of the energy that I feel, how it's progressing to be on the outside, be a bit more attractive to people who don't know much about it, you know, but then can really dive deep into it and find themselves in also these dark places, but in a good way, you know, a dark place for healing and for reflection. So that kind of shows with that we had like day tickets for, I think, Friday and Saturday. We had like day tickets. Saturday evening was like art night, so it was a bit more open to the public, right? Funny story about that. I was doing on Saturday night on the art night. I was at the entrance, checking people's tickets for the evening. So people who didn't have like a whole conference ticket, and there were lots and lots of people coming because they thought, oh, it's nightclub art night, right? It's nightclub time, and we want to go to the techno party, as they always do on Saturday at that venue, right? At Anomaly Night Art Club, and they kind of came, and we really tried to tell them because we kind of suspected that this is what they wanted, and we said, no, it's a culture tonight. It's like magic. It's like a conference. It's not techno. I mean, there are some DJ sets. That was the confusion. We had DJ sets. Right, we had DJ sets, but they were like, "Oh no, we know Enzo. Enzo is playing here tonight. He will get us backstage and everything." No, it's all good. It's all fine. I mean, we can pay the tickets for the night. It's not a thing to worry about. We can just do it." 10 minutes later, they're back at the entrance. This is witchcraft. We're like, yes, we told you. We tried telling you it is witchcraft. And then I, you know, because like when you go into a culture and you think, oh, this is just a techno night, you know, like we just did some dancing and everything. And then you come in and you have all this nice occult art on the walls and like some creepy art and like, you know, skulls and death masks on our altar and like goat's heads and everything, you know, like, well. What are you going to do, right? It's witchcraft. So, yeah. That's
That
that.
sounds hilarious. Something you riffed on earlier is, and I think this is like it's one of my biggest passions as well. Like I love darkness, and there's so much misconfusion still with like people placing darkness automatically as like evil when it's just darkness is just matter and it's a form of energy and form of magic that we can work with. And I think despite obviously the changes that you guys did, I think it's also so beautiful that you are pointing it towards the direction of like we have this VR experience with, you know, experiencing death. We have this talk, which is maybe about chaos magic and all that kind of stuff. Because in my personal opinion, we have a lot of motivational talks in manifestation stages. And don't get me wrong, it's fantastic that nowadays we can talk more openly about like tarot cards and astrology and all that kind of stuff, thanks to a new age movement. But at the same time, what I'm seeing is that a lot of that stuff can be superficial because they are not scratching on the, you know, working with your shadow, working with that darkness, and then basically trying to get the gold nuggets. But there's so much gold and like magic in itself with working with darkness and really embracing that and really understanding what it's like to have your power in darkness. So it's amazing that you also bring that up. And I think like personally, and this is just my hot take. Mark doesn't know anything about this, what I'm going to say. I think if you're afraid of the dark, you have work to do. Because obviously some fear, some, you know, mental health diagnosis and all that stuff can be connected to that. But my personal intake and from my history as a human being and what I've been through, the more I started to explore darkness and work with it, the more it became like a friend and a helper along the journey, so forming the relationship with death. So, because in my mentorings and stuff, I work with death pretty much all the time. Because the thing is, like, when you want to embrace change or when you want to have a certain change coming in your life, there is an identity death happening. So even if we don't really work with the matter of death and dying itself, there will be a transformational process within my mentorings. So I think it's really important that more people don't shy away from it. And I think it's great that our culture embraces that, because if we had more places like this, then I think the balance between light workers, darkness and all that kind of stuff would be a bit more higher up, and it wouldn't seem so scary after all. So amazing. I really need to go.
Absolutely. You need to come. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to share, or anything that's on your heart about magic, anything at all?
Maybe one thing from the opening ritual that I was that I found very interesting is so I had the idea of how about so it was kind of the opening ritual was structured in triangles, right? We had triangle, we had people at the on the sides, and then we had people on the inner circle and everything. And I said, how about we have a mirror hanging from the ceiling, which is spinning. Right, so it's kind of like a huge mirror. We had on like with mirror on both sides, so it could like spin and you would be mirrored on both sides, right? And I had the honor to spin the mirror. I was the mirror spinner. And so we were standing there in our ritual robes, and incense was burning, and I was spinning the mirror, and I and we just thought I was cool, like to show people when they come into the room, when they kind of stand around the ritual space, to kind of see their reflection, you know, that they are like that the mirror kind of catches their reflection, so they stand also in the middle, right? Like these kind of thoughts. What I didn't realize, and kind of in the middle of the ritual, what started to happen is, I was looking into the mirror, and because it was spinning in such a way, because both sides were mirrors, you kind of could look behind you and follow through it through the entire room. So you kind of had a 360 view of everything. You could see behind you and then follow the mirror, and then could see in front of you because the mirror was kind of on the edge. You didn't see anything. You could just look straight ahead and see the actual end of the room in front of you, and then the mirror would kind of spin again and you kind of see everything. So it had a 360 view, and if you were looking at it, and at least I did, it kind of started to play this very interesting illusion on your mind that we as a circle were turning and spinning around the mirror, so that we were moving. And that is like so trippy, especially in such a ritual, you know. It really started to look like that, because you right basically you see behind yourself, you see your environment turning around you, so that it kind of then feels like you are turning. So that was such a wild thing, and I really want to experiment with putting something like this on a small scale into my own work. And so yeah, so the rituals were very powerful. The ending, the closing ritual on Sunday was also a druidic one, with Daniel Mackenzie, and we all received like a small acorn, as a symbolic gift that we charged for a culture, and then connecting with the world tree and these images, and was very powerful to kind of chant together everyone who was at the conference and to connect. And yeah, it was just very beautiful how it all ended, and came together. And then I think it's such a it's such a dense energy that after that weekend you're really through. You really need some time to first of all integrate things, but to also just relax and just, I don't know, cooking some ravioli, you know, doing something mundane. Yeah, so that was very interesting, and yeah, looking forward to next year.
I can so relate to that. So when I went to the festival in London in May this year, it was my first time at a bigger festival. And I think I did like three ceremonies or rituals during the day. And then also chatting with people, having the talks. So afterwards, I came home and I was just so, like, you know, when you're like, my God, I feel like I've been on a spa trip for like, I don't know, 3 days in a row. And like, now I have to come back to reality. And literally, what I did, I was just making myself some ramen because I was like, I just need something simple to eat. And then I'm going to go sleep this out. And then the Monday after, I also had a bit of like what I call like a spiritual hangover. When you know, when you were at the ceremony where there was energy healing or anything like that, and you're just like, oh my God, I can really feel this shifting through my body. And you just need another day to get back to life. Thank you so much for sharing everything. It
Thank
was
you so
fantastic
much.
to have a chat again. Yeah, I will drop all the links, how you can find Mark, how you can find the old culture, and hopefully visiting yourself. I will make an effort to be there
Yes, please.
and finally get in touch, because I'm pretty sure the last, like the last interview, I said the same thing.
I
And I really
will
need
hold you accountable.
yes, please
We
hold me
all
accountable.
will.
So thank you so much for having this interview. Yeah, if you have any questions for us, just drop us a message. We will be there on email or wherever you want to reach us. It was
Absolutely.
fantastic to chat wherever you are in the world right now. We hope you have a fantastic day, night, or onto the sweetest of dreams, we hope. And we hear each other next time on the TOD podcast.
Thanks so much.